Okay, hello, and welcome to eSchool News' Innovations in Education, the podcast where we dive deep into the transformative approaches to modern education. My name is Kevin Hogan. I'm content director for eSchool News, and I'm happy you found us. Today, we're exploring a remarkable story of educational renewal in California's Antelope Valley. Our guest is the superintendent of the Palmdale School District, a leader who's reimagining what's possible when technology, community, and vision come together. From addressing technological inequity to launching a groundbreaking bilingual literacy program, he's turning the district's challenges into opportunities. We'll hear how the Palmdale Promise is creating more than just better schools. It's building hope, engaging families, and giving students tools to succeed in an increasingly complex world. Get ready for an inspiring conversation about education, innovation, and the power of believing in our kids. Okay, Doctor, thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here with you on your great show. And I will have to tell you that my technology team does follow your show.
I love it. I love it. We got to keep us going viral.
Right.
Got to get that mortgage paid, right?
Yeah, absolutely. As I always tell my parents, have more babies so I can stay in business, right? We cool. So I love babies. When I have meetings with my parents, hey, where are the babies?
Yeah, bring them on. Bring them on.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I know as with most, leadership these days, you are more than busy with plenty of things to do. So sparing a few minutes for me, I really appreciate. So many ways we could go. I know we could go on for a couple hours here, but I want to kind of keep it focused. Maybe we could just start off. Tell us a little bit about Palmdale and your district and where you are and some of the initiatives that are at the top of your laundry list.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love talking about Palmdale. I love telling our story. As I always say, I need to tell our story because somebody else is going to tell the wrong story, right? 10 years ago, I was appointed as the new superintendent in Palmdale. I had been in Palmdale for quite some time, left for a year, went up to McFarland. I don't know if you've ever seen my movie, McFarland USA, cross country movie. I served there for about a year. And then, the board called me back and said, we'd love for you to manage the school district. So a little bit about the school district. We are in the northern part of Los Angeles. We still are part of the LA County. This is what's called the High Desert, Antelope Valley. In my school district, there are 30 schools. We are actually a kinder through eighth grade school district. But guess what, Kevin? We bought a high school 4 years ago. And so now we're kinder through 12. So with that, we have been making some great progress. But initially, when I first came into the school district, everything's about timing. And it was the right time. We had the right board, good atmosphere, the culture we needed to work on. And we started an initiative to write our strategic plan. And so we did a lot of work with our stakeholders, had a lot of meetings. And we had one simple question. What are the hopes for the students in the city of Palmdale? And many people, there was about 100 people in the audience. We had several meetings and they all gave their opinion. Of course, they wanted students to be highly intellectual, to get CTE, to get technology, to be safe, all of those things. And that initiative we called the Palmdale Promise. And so we created a logo with the colors. And so pretty soon when people saw the logo, they started asking questions about it. We created a PowerPoint where we go to the community. I went out to the chamber lunches and shared the strategic plan. But Kevin, things are about results, right? We needed to show the results. And in Palmdale, what had happened is we had gone through some tough times, but we never looked back. We want to look forward. And we started looking at our schools, and the board was very clear. We need to make our schools the very best. The best-looking schools, friendly schools, with programs that are attracted to our families. And so with that, we began the journey of the Palmdale Promise. And now it has been in existence, approximately 17,000 students. But now I can say we have Palmdale Promise ambassador students, Palmdale Promise parent ambassadors, and guess what? We have action teams. These action teams, they go back to the strategic plan, they look at it, they monitor it, they modify it. We have to pivot, we will pivot. But we've been on this trajectory for that long period of time. And when people ask me, you know, when does it end? And I'd say, we're just getting started. We're only scratching the surface. But in reality, learning doesn't stop. I mean, students still have a need to learn. And we continue to look at the strategic plan. But it's nice when your bosses say, yes, this is the right thing to do. And so we're all in agreement. And it feels good, right? It builds pride. It builds a lot of enthusiasm and hope. You know, a lot of the times we learn in many ways that hope is not a strategy. Every morning I use it as a strategy to get up, and I hope I'm going to do a good job today. So I'm here very hopeful that I will have a great interview with you.
Well, that's excellent. Certainly after the pandemic, that idea of hope and that idea of social emotional learning became front and center, right? And
absolutely.
If students and faculty and administrators and parents don't feel safe or have that same sort of sentiment, no learning is going to take place. Among those many aspects that you talk about, I know that there is a pretty heavy technology component. Can you talk a little bit about that and a specific program?
Absolutely. Technology is one of those things that I always liked. When Apple IIe's came out, I was a fresh teacher, and my principal said, you are the media tech now. I had no idea what I was getting into, but little by little, I got into it. And now fast forward as a superintendent, one of the things that I encounter in my classrooms is that we had schools that had a lot of technology, and then we had schools that had very little technology. So I walked in to some of the inner city schools where they had an old projector projecting onto the wall. And then I asked the teacher, why are all the curtains closed? And she said to me, it's because if we don't close the curtains, then the kids can't see the projected image. And I thought, how sad, because I go to the same district in other areas, and they got this beautiful projector that is just so amazing. So I told the board, look, under the Palmdale Promise, it has to be about equity. Mm. Equity is so important for our kiddos, so that no matter what school they go into in Palmdale, they have the same quality of teacher, instruction, and program. And in this case, technology. And so we did save up some money. We invested about $7 million in new technologies. Now, the technology is a tool, you know, the device is a tool. It's what we do with it. And so the first year I was here, I learned about Footsteps to Brilliance, which is an online program that you could use with your phone, your Chromebook, your iPad, your computer. And I brought the idea to the board and I said, hey, we need to work on early literacy. You know, when the kids are just starting to go into school, we need to already get them on that computer, reading a book, writing a book. And so it was just fantastic. Everything lined up. I met the folks from Footsteps to Brilliance, which is, again, the online program. And let me just give you a little bit more of information about Palmdale, Kevin. One third of our students speak a second language or are considered English learners. And Footsteps to Brilliance is actually bilingual. So I was able to convince the board to purchase the program. We did a national press conference. We invited a lot of guests. I showed up at a school with the students and the audience, and we launched the program citywide. The mayor was there, city council, our local congressman was there. It was just fantastic. And guess what? The best thing about it was free to every single family in Palmdale under our zip codes, right? Parents loved it. Specifically, Spanish-speaking parents, they appreciated it because they could read at home with their kids, either in English or in Spanish, and it just got the whole family together. I even had several families say to me that they were learning English because they were reading the books in English at home with their kids. And so in that sense, we just thought it was fantastic. It was a great launch. And I don't know if you want to hear some more, but I challenged one of my local school districts, Pomona, a good friend of mine, Richard Martinez, was also at the same time launching the program. And I said, Richard, I've got a challenge for you. Let's see which school district reads the most and we'll challenge you for the next 6 months. Let's challenge each other. And guess what? We're still number one.
All right. Give it on the
post.
Now, you mentioned devices as part of that initiative. And what I read, mobile devices are a big part of that. As I mentioned before we started recording, we're finding in our coverage over the past several months that there's a little bit of a blowback when it comes to the use of mobile devices. Now, over the years, there's always been kind of a curve, right? You know, the introduction of them, they're going to be the greatest things since sliced bread. Then there were bans. And then they found applications to bring them back in and that they were positive, and then it kind of goes back and forth. And the recent studies that come out, the worries about screen time, the worries about cybersecurity, the worries about social media platforms and their effect on mental health, have made a number of districts, including that little one right to your south there, institute new device policies that talk about, they use the word ban. Which I think is a pretty extreme one. And in my personal opinion, like, good luck with that, trying to ban mobile devices. But on the other hand, it does need to be kind of studied and looked at. Like, where's your point of view when it comes to those use? You obviously have seen some successes in terms of the direction and in terms of the community involvement. But talk a little bit about the management of those devices and how that works in the day-to-day district business.
Kevin, I think we need to differentiate between a cell phone and a device, right? And so in our school district, we have many devices. In fact, we are now 2-to-1, so 2 devices per student. And what that means, a student can take a Chromebook home or an iPad. And so when we talk about devices, I think, as you mentioned, many school districts are now restricting cell phones. And so what happens is, what I'd like to say about that is, sometimes, you know, whether or not we like it, kids like to use their cell phone in the class. They're listening to music, they're chit-chatting with their friends on TikTok or what have you. And to me, that's one of the issues, because they're not paying attention to the teacher. And so if we can control it, we are in the process in Palmdale putting together a policy, because, as you know, in the state of California, the governor gave approval on putting together policies that will limit or restrict the usage of the cell phone. And so what we say in Palmdale is, we're having conversations with every community, every school, and how do we handle that? And so, as an example, we are testing, we basically allowed one of our middle schools to go ahead and use what we call the pouches. And these pouches is, the kids come in on campus and they put their cell phone in the pouch. But again, the devices, the electronic devices, are available in the classroom. Students also can check out, as I said, a Chromebook to take home to do their homework. You know that every teacher, whether or not we like it, they're assigning homework online, which students need to have devices to be able to complete. And particularly students that I serve in poor communities in the inner city, they need it even more. And so what happens is, at this middle school, SAGE, we allow the students, we actually require the students to put away the devices. Kids fought us at the beginning. The parents fought us a little bit. But you know what? On the other hand, we had a lot of parents come to us and say, thank you. I don't have my child calling me every other minute. I forgot my lunch. I forgot my pencil. Bring it to me. So we've seen a change in the culture in that sense. However, the importance of the devices is still there. We want students to use the latest technology. All of our classrooms, through this Palmdale Promise strategic plan, we made it very clear, every class will have a Promethean board. And I don't know if you know what a Promethean board is, but it's a panel, large TV where kids can write on. It's what I call the new whiteboard or the blackboard, right? When I started teaching, I'm old, it was a blackboard. And now it's a Promethean board. But I'll tell you, Kevin, during the pandemic, every single one of my classrooms had a Promethean board. We were ready. We weren't planning for a pandemic. Nobody knew that it was going to happen. But when it did, guess what? We were ready. Palmdale was ready. Every classroom, every teaching environment had a Promethean board. We could talk to the parents, communicate with children. And then we back then were one device per child so the kids could get online. Yeah. We've added a lot more. We give out actually free computers that are, you know, 2 or 3 years old through our foundation. We give those away to our families if they wish to have them. And so it's changed the culture quite a bit.
So it really isn't device driven. It's more of the management of the applications that are on those devices, the proper, I guess, teacher training to direct students to the best content and interaction.
And absolutely, because again, the management part of it is we manage what students can log on to, right? Whereas the cell phones, we don't manage that. But any student that gets on our system, we can look in and we can block websites. We can do all of that. But one of the things that we are not for is trying to block a student's access to things such as artificial intelligence, because to me, we cannot just block students from learning. You know, this came up back when YouTube came out, right? And teachers wanted it. And we were like, oh, my God, you know, we can't have that. Now everybody has access to it. And so it's a learning curve. It's something new. And AI could be used in the wrong way, but it can be used very effectively as long as we build that capacity with our teachers, the understanding, and the students use it appropriately.
Well, we got through a conversation for almost 10 minutes without mentioning AI. So that might be a record for me this year, especially in education technology. And it kind of bleeds into my next question, though, which is, you know, a great description of the current state of play at Palmdale and the history of what you're doing. I like to wrap up these conversations by asking what's next. What do you see coming up on your horizon that you anticipate that you'll be going to the board for, either for approval or for integration, for, you know, some of our readers and our listeners who are maybe not as sophisticated or progressive along the way that you are?
Well, great segue to the next topic, but, you know, we asked ourselves, so we spent 10 years implementing the Palmdale Promise. And now I gathered my cabinet members and board and said, what would you like to do? And this is what they all said. Now we need to go into the Promise 2.0, right? The next step of that. And so what does that mean? Well, that means getting back together with all of our teams and discussing what is it that we want to do in the next 10 years around technology, around curriculum. There are always challenges because as we speak, you know, there are standardized tests, there are requirements that we have to comply with. We always like to say in Palmdale, we like to be competitive. We want to be able to compete with charter schools or neighboring school districts. But I think for the next 10 years, we will keep up the technology. I know some of the Promethean boards are getting old. Now they're ghost images. Sometimes you get close to the Promethean and it changes the website. So we've got to make sure we buy the next edition of the Promethean. So that's one. Continue to train our teachers. We have a lot of new teachers. In fact, I would say within the last 5 years, Kevin, about half of our teaching staff is either brand new or fairly new. So they always need all of that training. But I will say, new teachers come in, and the first thing they ask for is, where's my Chromebook? Where's my computer? Where's my Promethean board? And they're good at using all of this technology and setting up ways to communicate with their grade levels. It is just, you know, fantastic. My suggestion, as you know, I have colleagues listening to me, is when in a school district you come up with a plan, in many ways, I've experienced this. You get in, you plan to do things for the next 5 years on a weekend, and it doesn't go anywhere. Our strategic plan is alive. It is moving. We're constantly looking at it. So one of my advices would be sit down with the community and find out specifically what they would like to see in our schools, you know, because I can say 10 years ago, our schools needed some TLC. They needed paint. They needed repairs. And so we went to the community and they supported us. And now I can brag, we have the most beautiful schools with the latest technologies, with great programs, international baccalaureate programs. We grew our dual immersion programs. I don't know if you know what those are, that we call them DI programs.
Okay.